St. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22 and 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Let's read it one more time. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Said it like this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you want to. Amen. In reading, in the book of Luke 22 and 31, the Lord begins to speak to Simon. And there's three commas there before God finally, before the Lord finally said what was on his mind. Now, I believe he'd done that for a purpose, Brother Horn. I believe he'd done it to get his attention. You ever just try to talk to some folks and they're just too busy with whatever was on their mind to sit down and sit still and listen? Amen. So he said, Simon, Simon, behold, pay attention, look at this, Satan hath desired to have you. Amen. Amen. And then Peter said to be vigilant and sober, because their adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. For just a little while, I want to try to help and preach to you simply on he is your enemy. Amen. He is your enemy. By his character and his name, he's an adversary. Amen. He's an opponent, or the Bible described him as a grand accuser of all brethren. Amen. A roaring lion, fierce, greedy, pursuer of souls. Amen. It's his business to seek and to devour and to walk. Amen. He asked, God asked the devil when he came with the sons of man. He said, where are you? Where have you been? And he said, from walking to and fro in the earth. Amen. So for a long time, he's been trying to get a hold. He's been looking and he's been watching. But he's a manipulator and he's a conniver, if you will. A deceiver and a destroyer. He simply, absolutely is the devil. Amen. That's all there are to it. And I know that message after message has been preached about an enemy, about a pursuer. But the problem we have of Danny is some folks get to the place that they're comfortable in his presence. Amen. Oh, help me preach here a little while. Amen. Oh, yeah. They become relaxed in his presence. There are several reasons why. Sometimes the devil comes by himself, and sometimes he sends one of his demons, if you will. Sometimes he sends a representative of hell. Oh, yeah. And that tries to deceive the very intents of men's heart. Oh, listen, but there are those that have been captivated. There are those that have accepted his presence. Amen. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, well, it's not so hard. You kind of get used to it. Well, that's the problem. Amen. Come on here. We just finally get used to it. Do we know why? It's not all the time that he comes in the church house door and begins to kick the doors in, the windows in, and just jumps right in the middle of our service. But no, he's like that He's like that wolf. He begins to slowly ease around. He begins to slowly come into the flock and try to pick out those that are not praying as well. Those that are not living as well. Those that are not living as close. He looks at them and he says, oh, I just wait for them to fall. And if I could ever catch them wounded, if I could ever catch them down, I'll take them as prey. Oh yeah! He don't come as the bear. He don't just come roaring. Oh no! But he slinks around and he sneaks around and he connives around and he watches for you and I to fall. Oh yeah! He watches around every corner. Hey man, he watches for a slip of the tongue or a fleeting thought to run through our mind and that thought to stay and linger just a while. He waits and watches around every corner. What is he? He is our enemy. Oh, help me here. I mean, he don't just jump in and snatch and grab, but he watches and he waits and he seeks and he may devour. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bible said your adversary. Amen. What is it? Just because he is our adversary, the reason to be sobered and be vigilant, amen, is because we have to ever be active. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Because he is ever active. He's implacable and he's a subtle enemy, amen. Oh yeah, amen, to contend with. Oh, come on here. He knows the very feelings of our hearts. And he watches and waits for the circumstance. He knows your uprisings. He knows your downfalls. He knows your weakness. He knows your heart. He knows the thoughts that you had when nobody was around. He knows when you looked and you lusted. Come on here. He knows, not simply maybe after a man or a woman, but when you looked at the thing of the world and he said, oh, that I might have that. He was there and he heard it. Oh yeah. He heard the thoughts of the heart. He heard what you said. He heard what you thought. Come on here. I mean, he's the grand accuser of all brethren. Oh yeah. It's his business. Come on. I want you to understand something here. He informs himself of all of your circumstance. He watches and he studies. I want to help you here if I can. He begins to study your every move. He studies how you start your day. He studies how you go about your day. He studies how you end your day. He studies how you pray. Come on here. I mean, he studies your heart. He studies the deep parts. He studies the dark places that you think nobody knows about. But he knows about them. Oh, yeah. And he'll use them against you. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. And he'll get you to the place that only God can do more than him. Only God can do more than him. I heard a man say one time, he said some people get themselves in such a mess that he said sometimes the Holy Ghost himself can't straighten it out. That's right. I mean, we get ourselves so tangled up. Sometimes people do. They'll go one place to another and they'll get so tangled up. Their life becomes such a disarray. Their life becomes such a problem and in such a situation that it's such a mess. Oh, God, help us here. Oh, listen here, but I want you to understand. I want you to understand something here. I know that everyone here has got sense enough to know who the devil is. But I just want to remind you this evening, in case somewhere along the line he's made himself a friend to you, in case somewhere along the line he's transformed himself into an angel of light. The Bible said he could, and the Bible said he would. Just in case somewhere along the line He sat down beside of you in the church house, and He said, you don't have to worship God like that. You don't have to live like that. Just in case He's come to where you are and said, you don't have to live a separated, sinless life. Oh God, just in case He's come to you and said, you don't have to live different from the world. Oh, come on here. Just in case that He's come to you and says anything will do. I want you to understand, He is not your friend. I said He's not your friend. He don't care about you. He don't care nothing about you. He don't care anything about you at all. He'd rather see you dead and as far away from God as you could ever get. Oh, God, help us. Help us tonight. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, it's the hour that we live. That He's doing everything that He can. Oh, God. Amen. The first thing that we must do is identify who He is. Amen. Identify who He is. Oh, yeah. Amen. Sometimes we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves holiness. We call ourselves people of God. But then in the same sense, it don't take just a little bit. Amen. Come on here. Oh, it don't take just a little bit. Just a little bit of persuasion. Just a little bit of talking to. Just a little bit of whispering. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, we've denied the very character of what we are. Come on here. What did Peter do? Peter denied Him. Oh, God. Peter denied Him 3 times. Come on now. You know why He denied Him? I feel like he missed the greatest prayer meeting you could ever have attended. When Jesus went to the garden and prayed, He'd asked them to come with Him. He said, come, let's pray. Ah, but nobody went but Jesus. And Jesus prayed. The Bible said until His sweat became as great drops of blood. But Peter wasn't there. He didn't go pray with Him. I believe that's why a little later, he denied Him 3 times. And on the 3rd time, the Bible said He cursed. And He said, I don't know Him. I don't know Him. He denied His character. He denied that He ever knew Him. Come on. I mean, that devil's bad. He's sly. He's cruel. You say, it'll never happen to me. You'd be surprised at how slick he is to get you to the place that you don't understand what he's already pulled you in. Oh, man, I feel like preaching here. Oh, God. Oh, God. Man, I felt the burden for this meeting way before I ever got here. Some of you might say, you missed it, preacher. You just take that up between you and God. Because I've already talked to Him. And I feel like He's laid it on my heart. I want you to understand something here. This devil, this accuser, is your adversary. He's your adversary. He don't like you. Oh, come on here. He'll lead you to believe that he does. But your job as a Christian, your job as a man or woman separated from sin, it's your job to identify him. And know who he is. Oh, come on here. And know what form he's in. Oh, come on here. I mean, there's good preachers across the land. But there's some preachers that ain't got a backbone more than a jellyfish. They wouldn't tell the truth for nothing. But I want you to know something. In this very hour, I want to know who he is. I want to know where he's at. Because I want to be as far away from him as I could ever get. I said I want to run to the city of refuge. I don't want him around me. I don't want to have nothing to do with him, lest he cause me to fall. It'll never happen to me, preacher. Judas thought the same thing. What did Judas do? He kissed the very gate to eternity. Brother Randy, he walked right up to the gate and kissed it and didn't make it in. Oh, come on here. Oh, come on here. Brother Morton Gibson, this is an absolute serious thing. If we never step outside of these doors after this preaching is over, if we never see tomorrow, if daylight don't come for us, come on now. If we don't ever get out of here, and this is the last thing we hear, I want you to understand something. You don't have to leave here not knowing who He is. You don't have to leave this house not knowing who He is. I believe in my soul right now that devil, that accuser is on somebody's tail. I believe he's on your heart. I believe he's been riding your heart. I believe it's been a battling you hard. But I want you to know who He is. He don't like you. He don't care about you. All He wants is to see you dead. Oh, come on here. He is your enemy. God. Amen. My wife and I was going down the road the other day and we seen a radio station advertised. So we clicked it on and it was supposed to have been a gospel. And it was some form of gospel. We turned it on and began to listen for just a few minutes. Just a very short minute, let me tell you. It was short. It was a rap going on, and they were just a spitting and a sputtering. Ever how they do that, I don't know, but they were trying in between every other word, they'd say something about God. That's the only thing let me know that it was about halfway gospel. And not only that, we've got music that sounds so much like rock and roll, but every word or two, they'll say something about God or something about Christ, or they'll mention the name of Jesus. I want you to understand something. The Bible said, do not cast your pearls before the swine. Let me tell you something here. If I want something to eat, I don't go to the garbage can to get it. I go to the table where it's all clean, it's all been washed, it's all been prayed over, and it's very much edible. Come on here. The devil is full of trash. He's full of garbage. Come on here. He's full of nastiness. I want you to know He's going to do whatever it takes to cause you to fall in this hour. Oh God. Oh God. Amen. Then they got something they call it soften up. They call it contemporary. I'm not going to give you my opinion on it. I'm just going to say, when I get something to eat, I don't go down the alley where the rats are. Amen. 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 When I want to hear preaching, I don't go to the corner of the house and turn it on and start watching. I don't do it. I don't do it. I don't have nothing to do at all. Amen. Come on here. I just ain't got it. I was 5 years old, and I ain't had one since I've been 5 years old. And I believe I'm doing pretty good. I don't believe I've missed a whole lot. But I'll tell you what, I don't go to the nasty things of the world to find out what I need from God. I'll tell you what I do. We got to hit our knees and begin to call on God. And if God gives us the answer, if God comes to us, I'm telling you, I already said that sometimes we get into places that only God Himself can help us. I said God Himself can help us because the devil leads us to some things. And he says, oh, you can get some good out of this. But the backside of the billboard, it's not any count. It's rotten and dirty. There's no good in it. But I want you to understand, I'm telling you, He is your enemy. He's your enemy. Amen. Amen. I never thought about preaching like this before I left the house. This is you, sir. It's you for revival, isn't it? I mean, revival means to revive again. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh, God. So many magazines. And I've even heard of a teen Bible. The teen Bible is watered down. The words are changed. They don't even mean the same thing. Amen. I'm surprised they don't even take Jesus wept out and say, Jesus cried. Oh, come on here. Come on here. I'm surprised. They're changing things like that. What in the world is wrong with our generation of people? What in the world is wrong with today's world? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. We've been led astray by our own lust and entice. I want you to understand something. The Bible says that when lust is finished, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth what? It bringeth forth death. We've only headed for death. We preached about it last night. But I want you to understand, he is your enemy. After we've identified him, we got to be sober. We got to be sober. Amen. Oh, God. Got to be sober. Amen. That's why Peter said to be sober. Amen. That simply means just exactly what it said. Be sober. Avoid drunkenness. I mean, we know that we're not supposed to drink the Budweiser and the wine and all those things and get that kind of drunkenness. But do you realize there's a spiritual drunkenness that we get into? We get to the place that our mental faculties are so disoriented. We get to the place that we can't understand right from wrong. We get to the place that we don't walk straight. We don't talk straight. We don't walk right. We don't spit wide. Come on here. We get to the place that the devil changes our mind. That somewhere along the way, he causes us to turn and veer to the right or veer to the left. Somebody said, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to tell us is, we got a straight road to glory. Come on now. I mean, the road is holy. That's the only way we're going to make it. It don't matter who likes it, who don't. It's going to be right or wrong, or we are not going. But the devil's job is to deceive us into thinking that when we're doing wrong, we're doing right. But we must be sober and understand the difference between it. Hey, a drunk man can't drive. You ever got behind him? We got behind a cab driver last night on the way home. And he was coming off the bypass on the 52. And he was doing every ounce of 40 to 45 mile an hour when he come on the 52 heading toward Irving. And he grabbed that inside lane, and there was a car in front of us that just happened to stay in the outside lane. I thought for sure we was going to see an accident. We got behind him, and I stayed a way back, and he was turning on his dome light, turning it off, and he was veering to the right and veering to the left. And my wife said, that man's as drunk as he can be. Something ain't right with him. He's either drunked up or doped up or something. But whatever it is, it's causing him not to be able to drive. Wow. I want you to understand something. We can get so spiritually intoxicated, so spiritually slumbered and sleepy. Come on now. The only way a lot of drunk men can get over the drunkenness is go to sleep and sleep it off. Oh, come on here. But what would be the problem? I'll tell you the danger in falling asleep in that kind of condition. You know what? I could probably take anybody's newborn baby. I could probably rock that baby to sleep, and that baby never wouldn't know the difference. He wouldn't know me from mama or daddy, but I could rock that baby to sleep. And that baby would go to sleep in a pure out like stranger's arms. Oh, come on here. Somebody said, I'll never let the devil do me that way. But if he rocks you to sleep and you get to the place that you're spiritually intoxicated and you fall asleep in the arms of a pure stranger, you have no control over your life at that point. The only help for you is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can pull you out. That's the only thing that can change your ways. It's the blood of Jesus. Amen. 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 Oh, yeah. Amen. Let me tell you something, preacher. It'll never happen to me. It will if you don't stay sober. Got my life ahead of me. Got plenty of time. We throwed that second one out last night. Plenty of time is not an issue. Plenty of time is not an option. Maybe 50 years ago, you might have had a little space of grace a little longer than you got now. But I don't believe we got that much. I just don't believe we got that much. I'm not prophesying and telling you when he's coming. That'd just surprise me if it stands another 50 years. Oh, come on here. Oh, God. I mean, there's a place that people get. I got to hurry here. There's a place that people get that they're satisfied. They're content. They feel safe. And they want to stay just where they are. But I'm going to tell you, there's a place that we get, that we might get safe and we might get comfortable. But if we're comfortable, there might be danger there. There might be a little bit of danger there. Oh, yeah. My papa told me when he was in the army, he said many times they put me on guard duty. And he said, as long as I was afraid of something, he said, I could stay awake. He said, but if they sent me out there to guard something, I didn't think it was a chance in a world that anybody would come or anybody would bother me. He said, I'd fall asleep every time. If I could do it tonight, I'd like to stir a fear in your heart. I want you to listen to me here. I'd like to stir a fear in your heart to let you know that around every corner, under every bush, behind every door, peeking under every window, it's the devil, it's your adversary, it's your enemy. He's waiting for you to go to sleep. You know why? Because he don't ever sleep. He waits all the time. And he watches for you to fall. He watches for you to mess up. He is your enemy. Next thing we've got to do, we've identified him. We're sober. We've got to take action. We've got to take action. Amen. What kind of action would that be? James 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. That's kind of hard for him to flee when you're going his direction. Amen. It's kind of hard for him to flee when you're going his direction. And you can't resist him on your own. You can't tell him no on your own. You can't tell him no on. You can tell him all day long, but he knows you're not. He knows you're not serious. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But when you submit it to God and you give it absolutely all over to him and you say, Lord, I cannot handle this by myself. I need God. I need God. See, we're living in a generation of people. That's the first and foremost problem. They don't feel that they need God. But if we ever needed the Lord, we sure do need Him now. Oh, God. Oh, God. When Peter said to be vigilant, the word vigilant comes from a Greek word that I can't even pronounce, much less spell or anything else. But it means collect your mental faculties. arise from a sitting or lying position. It means to stand. Take action. Do something about it. Don't let him run over your life. Don't let him destroy your life. Don't let him put a mark on you that you can't get rid of. Don't let him pull you into something that you got to live with the rest of your life. Come on here. Oh, I'll go with you a little bit and say, yes, we're young and we've got our life in front of us. But that's the foremost reason that we must understand that we've got to stay out of the world and be a separated people and not be pulled into something that we'll have to live with the rest of our lives. Oh, God, it'll put a scar on us that, oh yeah, we might get saved and the blood could be applied and we could go to glory, but there'll be a scar of sin there that you'll never forget. It'll always be a reminder of where you are. Last but not least, we got to take guard. Amen. Stay awake. Be watchful. Never be off your guard. Why? Why should we never be off our guard? Because He's not ever off His. Oh, God. Feeble attempt to get you to understand. He is your enemy. He is your enemy. You never make alliance. You never make friends with this enemy. Never. 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 You never make friends with this enemy. I just feel like preaching right there for just a few more minutes. You don't never make friends with this enemy. You say, I'll never do it. He'll never get me. Oh, he will if you don't pray. He will if you don't seek God. He will if you don't put him the very first thing in your life. If God is not the most thing that you love in your life, then He will get you. Come on here. I said He'll get you. If you put your job, your mom, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your sister, brother, your car, your house, whatever it is, whatever you put in front of God between you and Him, if you're not real careful, it'll take your time. It'll take everything about you and it'll draw your attention away from God. I'm not particularly trying to draw your attention all to the enemy. I just want you to recognize Him and then turn your attention to God and face Him. Turn your eyes toward glory. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Oh, God. There's a lot of things in this world. I said, oh, if I could ever put my hands on it, I'd do something about it. Amen. Amen. If I could ever put my hands on the devil, my hands, I believe I could do something with it. I'm not a real big fella. And you probably look at me laughing, saying, you couldn't smash a flea. Well, with the hatred that's in my heart toward that devil, the things that he's done for my family and yours, come on here. The things that I look across the churches and he's done to the churches. He's caused good friends of mine, good preacher friends of mine to fall. Come on here. He's caused good pastors to fall. Come on now. He's caused good piano players to fall. Good choir directors to fall. He's caused good churches to shut their doors. Come on now. And then just be a ruin and just be something that we talk about. Oh, God, we must realize. Amen. We must realize that He is our enemy. Oh, God. The Bible said in Revelation, said He knows He has but a short time. It ain't no wonder hell rages. It ain't no wonder hell moves herself and enlarges herself daily to meet the anti-coming. It ain't no wonder. It's because so many men and women are falling to His devices. So many men and women are losing out today. I don't want to preach it all negative. I mean, Jesus is still saving souls, but there's still being so many that are deceived in this hour. Amen. deceived in this hour. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us why. That we can't do it by ourselves. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Amen. When I stand on judgment, I'm not only going to be held accountable for myself, I'm going to be held accountable for the souls that I've preached to. The people that I've preached to. The people in the crowd that I didn't think it was going to. But it went to them. Some of them that maybe I focused my attention to. And it really wasn't going to them, it was going to somebody else. All of them that I've told. All of them that I've preached to. I don't want to be like the one man said. He had a dream. He fell into this pit and he thought it was hell. It was told to me that he dreamed he had fell in this pit and thought it was hell. And he said he looked and there was all of these faces, all of these heads. All he could see was heads. That's all he could see. For just everywhere, heads everywhere. Just a sea of heads. He said all at once he looked and said, here comes somebody right down through the middle of that. And said they'd run by and they'd pick up this head and look at that face. They'd run over and pick up this head and look at that face. Run all over the place as they got closer. Just picking up heads and looking at faces. And finally he stopped them. He said, what are you doing? The individual said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm looking for the face of the preacher. That said I could live any way I wanted to live and make it to heaven. He said, that's who I'm looking for. You can't live any way you want to live and make it to glory. You can't do it. I didn't write the book. That's just the way it is. We can't live any way we want to live. Just because. It's been 15 years ago that I heard or read that Pentecostal. The word Pentecostal, being church-affiliated, Brother Danny split about 15 years ago now. And they went 250 different ways 15 years ago. That number now is up like 400 and some different denominations of a so-called Pentecostal church. Amen. Amen. You think about it for a minute. Do you realize in this hour, and I'm closing, Sister Michelle, come. Do you realize right now, 2005, ...98% of Americans think they're saved. Stay with me here now. Just a little more here. Just a little more. 98% of the whole world professes Christianity. They want to be affiliated with the church for fear of not making it. But just being affiliated with the church won't get us there. Oh, God. It takes the blood. It takes the blood. Except you be born again. You cannot enter. I might have said this the last time I was here. I don't know. On that Sunday morning. About preaching on the streets in Richmond. Did I say anything about that?